Michael Grandage's critically acclaimed production of John Logan's Red will be screened across the country and across our region on Wednesday, November 7th. Red tells the story of Mark Rothko under the watchful gaze of his young assistant and the threatening presence of a new generation of artists. Rothko takes on his greatest challenge yet to create a definitive work for an extraordinary setting. Red stars Alfred Molina and Alfred Enoch, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Alfred Molina to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Thank you. Your introduction, I wish I'd known that when I started rehearsing. It would have made my job so much easier.
Well, when you start, when you talk about rehearsing, now I saw this production in Broadway years ago, so you came to the show how long ago?
Well, the first iteration of the play was in 2009 at the Donmar Warehouse in London, and then we transferred at the beginning of 2010 to Broadway, where we ran for a few months, and then we did it again in Los Angeles in 2012, and then the plan was to do a West End run in London, which we hadn't done, because we went straight from a small theater to Broadway. But, you know, people's schedules and things weren't in line. And so a few years went by. And then suddenly Michael Grandage, the director, said, "We've got a slot. You know, does it suit you?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so we did it again. And of course, you know, because there's only two of us in the play, each change of cast meant that effectively 50% of the cast was different. So, it merited another rehearsal period, you know, because rather than it being just another revival, you know, we're having to kind of rediscover the play sort of anew.
So when I saw it, it was you and Eddie Redmayne, and now it's with Alfred Enoch. So what is that like, and what was that process like of doing this with, as you say, another a different 50%?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what was important to both all of us who had been doing the play from the beginning, you know, Michael Grandage, myself, and Christopher Oram, our designer, and so on, we wanted to make Alfred know absolutely that this was his role, and you know, we weren't expecting him to recreate something that had already been done before. You know, this was a brand new actor, a brand new take on the part. And as a consequence, a brand new take for all of us on the play. And so it was kind of, it was like doing the play for the first time again. And each actor that's played the assistant Ken, first it was Eddie Redmayne, then Jonathan Groff played the role when we did it on Broadway. In Los Angeles. And now Alfred Enoch. And I think it's a wonderful way of coming to material that you think you know with a different element, a different sort of influence coming from the other actor. And it was kind of very rather exciting.
What has, having been with a work for as long as you've been with this work, almost 10 years, 9 years, what do you learn about it? I assume because it's such a beautiful play and such a well-written play that you continue to discover things about it.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, the beauty of good writing, particularly a play like Red, is that it always, good writing will always stand up to further scrutiny. And so the more you look into it, the more you delve into it, the more detailed your search, the more forensic your search, the more you find. And also, plus, what this new version sort of brought with it was the fact that for the first time we had an actor of color playing Ken. The world has changed in the last 9-10 years, and now we had this really interesting dynamic in the play that hadn't existed before. You know, so you know, the relationship between Rothko and his assistant has all the elements of the teacher student, you know, master servant, father son, has all those elements in there. But now suddenly it had a different kind of energy, a more vital sort of energy. You know, I mean, it made the whole, we had to look at it anew. You know, and it was a fascinating process. And Alfred was absolutely brilliant in the role.
As I mentioned, this is going to be screened on November 7th. What is it like to take a stage play and to put it up on a giant screen?
Well, I think that's a question that only the audience can answer,
right,
in a way, because we just gave performances in the same way, which happened to be recorded, and it's so for us, it wasn't really any different. We weren't playing for the cameras; we were still playing for the audience. And so, because the whole idea is that the viewing audience on the 7th will be looking at an accurate and absolutely true theatrical version of the show, and it's as if it'll be as if they were there. And I think so. In a way, for the actors, we just did the play as well as we could, the way we did it every night, and it just happened to be recorded. The film version certainly captures the tension and the pace of the play and the feel of the play. It's not a flat sort of just a flat kind of bland recording. I mean, the camera really kind of gets in, and there are close-ups, and you can see the thought process is going on. So it's kind of exciting.
I assume it's also very nice for you to have a record of what you've done instead of that performance.
Well, if they give me a DVD of it, yes. I mean, I may have to go.
I'm
hoping that was part of my deal.
I hope that's in the contract.
You'd think so, wouldn't you, Joe? You'd think so, but you never know. But no, but it is. It's a wonderful thing that there is a kind of version there now that people can go back to if they choose. Beyond this time, it'll be there, sort of hopefully for a while. So if anyone in 5, 10, 15 years' time is curious about Mark Rothko, then maybe this little piece of work might sort of be a little illuminating.
Yours is such an intense performance and such an amazing immersive performance. And I'm interested in we were talking about the rehearsal process, but when you originally started this, how long into the process did you feel that you really had gotten into this guy's head and space of what a Rothko experience was like?
Well, I think when we first did it, I was very, very nervous about it, but also very excited. I was very excited by the prospect of it. When I read the play, I've told this story before, but I was sitting in a small restaurant in New York when I was reading the play, and I sat down and ordered a drink, and I sat down and I started reading the play, and by page sort of 10 or 12, I realized I had to do it because it just completely caught me, and I remember saying to someone, it wasn't one of those punching the air moments. It was actually a bit of a sinking feeling, because you could feel all your options falling away. actors often talk about the difference between a role that you want to do and a role that you have to do. And very often, the role that you have to do is almost in spite of yourself. When I first took on Red, I thought, well, it means months away from home, and not for not a lot of money. It's going to be a labor of love in many ways, but it was so worth it, because as we went through the rehearsal process, I realized that I was in my 50s then, and I was being challenged in a way that I hadn't been for quite some time as an actor. When you're younger as an actor, you're constantly looking for things that are going to force you to go somewhere that you've never been before, or challenge you in some way. And then suddenly, to get a role sort of in my mid-50s that kind of made me do that was really a bit scary, but at the same time really, really, very, very exciting. And I think it was halfway through the rehearsal process when I began to feel that, yeah, maybe I can play this.
The first line of the play is, "What do you see?" That sets the tone, doesn't it? Because there's such urgency, there's such despair, there's such hope in just that line.
That's right, and it's the first line of the play. It's Mark Rothko's line, and it's also his last line in the play, which I always found rather sort of poetically very kind of satisfying. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's in a sense the line, the question is so broad and open, in terms of seeing physically, emotionally, spiritually even. And I think it was typical of Rothko, and it's certainly typical of the Mark Rothko that we have in the play, of someone who was, intellectually very rigorous, someone who had made huge demands on people, on himself, but also on people around him. Somebody asked me, would I have liked Mark Rothko? And I said, well, I would have liked to have had dinner with him, but not necessarily at my house. because I think he's a tough guy. There's a wonderful biography about him. His son Christopher wrote a very interesting book, which was more of a kind of a sort of an examination of his work, through the lens of being his son, obviously. And you get this image of someone who really has. I mean, there's a line in the play when Ken says to him, "You're not much for small talk," and Rothko says, "Yeah, because it's small." And that, that kind of rigor, that kind of demanding sort of approach to things is very typical of him. And I think it's the one thing that makes him both absolutely fascinating and brilliant, but also a little bit monstrous.
There is that point where you say in the play that to Ken, "I'm not your teacher," but it seems as though that's exactly what he is ultimately, and also that he's looking to be understood, whether that's from Ken, the art world, or anyone.
Absolutely right. I mean, I think in many ways, like a lot of people who have very, very strong views, there's always a sort of flip side to it. There's always a softer underbelly to it. When he says, he says to him right at the beginning of the play, "I'm not your teacher, I'm not your friend, I'm not your this, I'm not your that, I am your employer." And of course, then, as you say, he goes on to spend the rest of the play being very much a kind of rather severe teacher and taskmaster. And I think that's part of, when characters, great writing always presents you with characters who contradict themselves. And it's in those contradictions where all the interesting stuff is. In the same way that we, in real life, we always contradict ourselves constantly, and it's part of human nature. And when writing reflects that, we used to do an exercise at drama school where you would write down a list of all the things your character says about him or herself, and then you'd write another list of all the things that other characters say about your character. And the more contradictory those lists are, the more interesting those parts are to play.
There is something that is so beautiful in your performance of this character, because we see the relationship that you have with the art. We look at how you see of not quite understanding it, of having this wonder and also this anxiety, but also very much a pride in what was created.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that was part of Rothko's approach to his work. He turned up to work in a suit and tie every morning, 9 o'clock, and he did a 9-to-5 day, like he says in the play, we keep banker's hours, he says. That was his job, and I think he saw it as a job. And he would come to work, he would change into his work clothes, he would work, he would change out of his work clothes, and he'd go home and have dinner. And I think there's that rigidness, that kind of sense of routine, is what gave him that sort of focus on the work. And the work was obviously the most important thing in his life. There's something. I think there's something to be learned from that. There's something, that sense of wonder that he had, complete lack of satisfaction in what he was doing, always unhappy, always searching for something more, something better, something more important. And I think that searching is what drove him. And I think that's why he's one of those artists that people are never on the fence about him. People either love him or absolutely detest him. I had lots of people coming to see the play whenever we were on Broadway and in London, where people would come in and say things like, "I hate hate Mark Rothko's work, but I love the play. You know, and it was sort of, but I saw, well, I think one of the best moments we had was someone left an anonymous note backstage, and it just said to the, it was just a piece of paper off a notepad, and it was just folded over, and on it was written to the actors, and then I opened it, and inside it just said, "This changes everything," and the person who wrote it signed it as an art student. That I've still got it. That piece of paper meant more to me than almost anything else.
With this now being shown on screens on November 7th, what is next for you?
Well, I'm developing a movie that I'm going to direct. I'm working on that right now. There's a couple of films in the pipeline that are about to be released. A film I did with Hugh Jackman called Front Runner. There's also another movie I did with David Oyelowo called Only You, which is due for release, I think, probably in the new year. And also a movie called Saint Judy that with Michelle Monaghan that I think is going to get a release towards the end of this year. For the next sort of few months, I'm going to be working on this project that I'm going to direct, and also just enjoying being at home because the last 3 or 4 years I've spent a lot of time out. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, but I have been working away from home a lot. So it's nice to be home and kind of settling into a more domestic routine.
Michael Grandage's critically acclaimed production of John Logan's Red will be screened in cinemas across the country and across this region on Wednesday, November 7th. And you can find out more information by going to the website redincinemas.com. Redincinemas.com. It is a great pleasure to have Alfred Molina on the program. Alfred, thank you very much for being with us. What a delight.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Again, Alfred Molina, starring in Michael Grandage's production of John Logan's Red, screened November 7th at theaters across our region. You can find out more by going to redincinemas.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.